This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, my name's Daryl Ong, and you tune in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. While the COVID-19 pandemic has shut down football leagues around the globe, the issue of footballers' wages come into the picture, many opting to take pay cuts to help their respective clubs stay afloat. On today's show, we explore more on pay cut dilemmas, furlough schemes, public spats on salaries, and more. But first up, here's this week's news roundup on the good, the bad, and the ugly. As usual with me, I have Harish Deol, editor of 2213. Harish, how are you coping with this whole MCO period? How's it like?
How's it like? I just pray and hope that I'll be sane when this ends. Yeah, but otherwise, it's something that we all have to do. So, yeah, we just have to find innovative ways to get stuff done, including providing news.
That's right. And this week, Harish, you have three pieces of news for us this week on Good, Bad and Ugly. Can we start with the good?
Yes, of course. But when you ask me about the good, I can't really think of something good during this unprecedented time. Yeah. You know, there's virtually no sports. Mm. So that's not good. But one thing I need to highlight is that esports, I know a lot of people out there, they've got different views about calling it a sport to begin with. But here's the thing, it continues to thrive.
It's business now, as usual, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it's not business as usual, Daryl. In fact, it's business tripled. You know, viewership, there's been a surge in the number of viewership. There's been a whole lot of eyeballs in recent weeks. Various pockets of esports tournament and leagues that's going on all over the world. And while you're hearing of people complaining about cash flow issues, now BMW, the German automobile manufacturers, they have partnered five of the world top esports organizations that have teams competing in the US, UK, China, Germany, and South Korea. Mm. Now, BMW had in a statement called this a move as called the move as a recognition of the growth of esports, particularly with its growing online reach in the wake of the coronavirus. Yep. Now, due to COVID-19, all of us we've stopped enjoying physical activities and events outdoors. Mm. It's all confined indoors. Yeah. Mm. Now, the brand is also expanding its involvement in the world of online games and esports to appeal to the younger generation who will potentially become car buyers. So they are thinking of the future.
Yeah.
They believe esports is now and the future. Mm. Now, locally, the other good news is we have current and former athletes doing workout videos on social media. You know, it reminds me of how when we were growing up in the 80s and, you know, at every 8 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning, you had these clips of people going, dua, tiga, tiga lagi, you know, and all that, exercising videos. So yeah, we're getting that now, a whole lot of that. But in the likes of, Taekwondo exponent Sarah Yap, we've got former Wushu champion Lo Jack Chang, and they are all motivating a whole lot of people to sweat it out at home.
Not just that, but also, for fans of the athletes, you get to see, the athletes still keeping fit while staying at home.
Indeed. And the likes of Sarah Yap, for example, she's been working out at home using interesting home appliances as weights and exercise equipment. Mm. So it's interesting, from a simple water bottle to a bigger bottle of water.
Very innovative, yeah.
Yes. So it's all, as long as they are weight, so yeah. Mm. Anyway, last but not least, I know everyone has got an MCO look these days. I tried to keep a beard, but I think it grew too long that I had to shave it off. But Selangor coach B. Satyanathan has decided to also join the MCO look bandwagon, and he's now keeping a moustache.
Interesting. So from that story, these are, a couple of talking points which kind of uplift our spirits, right, in this uncertain times. But now we're going to move on to the bad, Harish.
The bad. Now, this is where reality is going to slap our faces really hard. The Thailand FA has decided to resume its league in September, and the FA of Malaysia could be pressured to follow suit.
Right.
Now, even if FAM decides otherwise, we will definitely see these matches being played behind closed doors, and we'll see plenty of social distancing. But best luck in doing so in football. The welfare of footballers and officials are important, of course, and it remains unclear if FAM would want to risk it. I'm sure they wouldn't want to do it in the sense of they wouldn't want to risk any particular family member of theirs. But still, and when I mean family member, I mean the players and the officials.
Yep,
but still, they could be pressured to run the league simply because of the sponsorship commitment. Now, if they push the league later in the year, or perhaps just cancel the league altogether, which I doubt they will do it, you know, sponsors will naturally either cut ties or shy away from their 2020 commitment. And what will happen is that teams may end up going bust. And at the end of the day, players will suffer because they won't get their wages.
Well, health is the priority, and we've seen a couple of potential months where football can come back. Do you think September is too early, or you know, just a bit too late?
Really, it really depends on what will happen in the next few weeks.
Right.
To be honest, Daryl, I think everything will hinge on and the thing about this particular the moment that we are living in at this time, this unprecedented time. We can't seem to plan, because if you think that you've done, you know, if the government authorities think they've flattened the curve, and next thing you know, you have another cluster or another case or another episode. And, you know, the whole drama,
starts,
you know,
again, right?
Explodes again, and it starts again, and we're all back to square one. So, and there's no vaccine in sight at the moment. Even if there is one, it will be only by 2021. That's what the experts are saying. So it's quite difficult to plan anything at this point of time. So yeah, to answer your question, September seems safe to a certain extent, but it really depends on what will happen in the next few weeks and perhaps a month or so. If we can just all stay at home, you know, practice physical distancing, keep good hygiene, and I think then that's possible.
Yep.
But if you're going to all just continue going out, you know, like what's been happening in recent times, where you see traffic jams at roadblocks. So yeah, that it's a question mark there. Why are there so many cars on the road? Why are there so many people on the streets? So yeah,
I know a lot of people are, you know, wanting football to come back sooner rather than later. So I guess the best I can do is just help the situation by just staying at home.
That's the only thing we can do right now, and it's the right thing to do. In fact, that's one thing. But I'm also concerned, I'm very concerned, in fact, that the Education Ministry has cancelled two major school examinations.
Yep.
Now, this is a clear indication that our 2020 schooling calendar is going to be severely disrupted. And this would also mean school sporting activities will come to a halt. You know, I doubt they will even have the National School Sports Meet, the MSSM, this year. Also unclear is the Malaysian Games. I know that the officials had a meeting last month, and they confirmed that, you know, the games will go on as scheduled. But given the current situation, and like I mentioned earlier, given what will happen in the next few weeks, a month or so, the organizers should brace for a possible cancellation, because you don't want to encourage, you know, a whole lot of people gathering at one place and you know, the whole thing happening all over again.
Yeah, better be safe than sorry.
Yeah.
From the bad, we move on to a spat between Kedah FA and FAM.
No, actually, it's more of a spat between Kedah FA and the whole world.
Okay.
Kedah FA, funny blokes. Anyway, Kedah FA Secretary General Asmirul Anwar Ariz had posted on his social media page, pretty much blamed everyone, you know, from FAM to the Malaysian Football League, for their inability to pay the wages of their footballers. Now, this has, you know, pretty much you know, angered the Crown Prince of Johor, Tunku Ismail Ibrahim, and think the Crown Prince alone is not the only one who's disappointed with such remarks.
Right.
where the Crown Prince, who also runs the football team, Johor Darussalam, he slammed Azmirul as saying, and I quote, "Bila salah sendiri, tak bayar gaji, mula menunjuk jari kepada orang lain." Typical small-time politicians SOP. Lepas tangan dan salahkan orang lain. It's one of those rare moments where I actually agree with the Crown Prince of Johor.
Harish, what was the basis for, you know, pointing the finger at others?
They cannot pay, law. It's as simple as that. They can't pay their wages, the wages of their players. So instead of having a backup plan or instead of finding innovative ways to raise funds, they instead blame the whole wide world.
Right, got you.
And I think the Crown Prince of Johor is right to say that, yeah, this is the typical mindset, the small-time politician mindset, whereby when you don't get things your way, you just blame everyone else.
Mm.
Now, even the FA of Malaysia didn't take this lightly. Its General Secretary, Stuart Raman Lingam, hit back, saying that the statement is only aimed at covering up Kedah FA's own faults in terms of late payment of salary to its players and at the same time pushing the blame on other parties, including the FA of Malaysia. Now, I wish I could buy some popcorn and watch this drama unfold, but I can't go out of the house.
You can grab it, Harish. Grab food.
Yeah,
I know.
I think I shall try that, yeah.
Right, this is an ongoing spat, so we might revisit it in the coming weeks. Harish Deo, the editor of 2213, thank you so much for your time.
Most welcome, Daryl.
You tune in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. And from this week's good, bad and the ugly, we move on to an issue that has been dominating the back pages for weeks. As more and more footballers around the world are taking pay cuts to ease their club's financials in this crisis, pressure has also fallen on the more elite players to contribute their riches. From this came open spats and public outcries over why football is being targeted, with some clubs opting for a government furlough scheme to fund the wages of non-playing staff. Here at home, the issue of players' salaries also caused quite a row, with footballers telling the guys higher up the footballing chain to lead by example and cut their salaries first. An ongoing issue, and to help me dissect this, I have Ross Yusuf, host and producer of BFM's football programs. He joins us on the show today.
Ross, welcome to the program. How are you handling life without football?
Please come back soon, football. No, like everyone else, holding up, being safe, being sensible and staying at home.
I've been really tempted to watch the Belarus League. It's still going on. Right, so Ross, with the COVID-19 pandemic, not just seen cancellations of football leagues around the globe, but the knockback effects is also that players' wages come into question during this downtime. Can you just start off by giving us your thoughts on what's been happening?
Yeah, players' wages. A lot's been talked about that recently. First of all, I want to say that it was really unfair of the UK Health Minister, Mr. Matt Hancock, to call out Premier League players publicly. That was just a cheap shot. Look, there are lots of very, very rich people living in the UK. There are pop stars, there are Russian oligarchs, there are hedge fund managers, airline bosses, royalty. But yes, I grant you, Premier League players earn a lot of money. They do live in their own bubble. But they have now set up a players' fund that helps the National Health Service directly. A lot of them do continue to contribute to the communities. Now, what people need to understand here is a lot of footballers, today's footballers from the Premier League, a lot of them come from working class backgrounds.
Mm.
So they all do understand hardship.
Lionel Messi also recently announced that he's taking a 70% pay cut. Should this be like a blueprint for players to follow in his footsteps and announce the cuts themselves?
I wouldn't quote 70% for all players.
Yeah, of course.
Lionel Messi is a bigger than most player. I mean, all the big players. You hear Cristiano Ronaldo, CR7.
Mm.
He's turned all his hotels into hospitals.
Mm.
He donates millions to help the frontline workers. Messi is one of these rare players who can probably afford 100% pay cut. and you know, but... Mm. It's nice to see that they're doing it. I'm sure a lot of players as we speak now, are actually helping their clubs by taking pay cuts to help the non-playing staff, because they are the bloodline of football clubs, aren't they?
True that, true that. There were also clubs that opted to use the furlough scheme but made a U-turn when there was a public outcry. Ross, from a business perspective, do you think it's fair that club owners aren't dipping into their own pockets?
Yeah, there was a stat recently. The owners of the 20 Premier League clubs combined wealth is £81 billion.
Oh, wow.
Just let that sink in for a little bit. But I personally think it's actually disgusting that top clubs have opted to furlough their staff. When Liverpool and Spurs did it,
yep,
there was massive public outcry. And thankfully, they've done the U-turn. Still, clubs like Newcastle continue to furlough their staff. It's an incentive, the furlough, set up by the UK government to help a business that is in real grave danger of folding.
Mm.
You can't say that Liverpool, Spurs, Newcastle are going to fold because they just simply aren't. But there's a caveat, like everything. Smaller clubs, I urge you to search out our Friday show. Bob Holmes made a very good point about this.
Yeah.
Norwich City, currently bottom of the Premier League. They've been set out like a championship club for the whole season in the Premier League.
Mm.
No secret, they're going to get relegated. They have furloughed their staff. They've written to every single Norwich City fan member saying they have furloughed their staff. And the fans have all agreed 100%.
Mm.
So clubs like Norwich need the furlough. There are clubs like Bournemouth and Burnley. They're getting near the desperate stage as well, so furloughing might be an option for those clubs.
Right. Yeah, you're right. You know, it's easier on the elite clubs, but much harder for, you know, guys in the bottom of the Premier League or even in lower divisions.
Absolutely. We're not even talking Championship or League One, and you know what I mean? It gets worse.
Mm. As a whole, Ross, what do you think is the best solution to combat this?
Look, these are unprecedented times. Mm. There's no blueprint to follow. There's no right way and wrong way of doing it. I mean, at the end of the day, common sense is going to have to prevail.
Mm.
If you're setting a target, if you're saying, look, football's not going to realistically come back until July, you're then talking about May and June with no action, with staff needing pay. If that's the case, then I think it is fair if you ask the employees of your organization, hey, you might need to take a 15-20% pay cut to help everybody else, to help the business survive. So, you know, unprecedented times, common sense is going to have to prevail. I'm sure everybody is going to do the right thing at the end of the day. But as I say this, I want to highlight that Newcastle United have actually charged their fans, deducted the money from their bank accounts for next season's
what?
Ticket. Yeah, that is just beyond outrageous. Now, that's the other side of the coin there.
Mm. Ross, in hindsight, how should have clubs been more transparent to fans and the public?
I don't know what they could have done more, really. A lot of them have tried to follow the guidelines. If you ask us in Asia here, if you ask me personally, I'd say the UK probably adapted it a couple of weeks too late. The football probably went on for a couple of rounds too much.
Mm.
You know, we in Malaysia, we were, what, well into 30-plus days of lockdown already here.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, the clubs are all trying to do what they think is right. Everyone just needs to be sensible and just wait. If you wait at home, this will die off and football can return, but it will return in its new form,
yeah.
I guess. I don't know how they're going to celebrate now. It's going to be inventive ways to like stay away from each other and stuff.
Mm. Back in Malaysia, it was announced just last Friday that footballers of Melaka United will be taking pay cuts, but there is drama with PFAM urging players not to accept if certain conditions are not met. Ross, in your opinion, how has the Malaysian football landscape been handling this issue?
Now we often talk about players' wages, and when we say that, you think about tens of thousands, maybe even hundreds that players earn.
Yep.
That is the case in the top leagues, in the EPLs and all that. In Malaysia, your average footballer doesn't take home more than 5,000 or 6,000 ringgit a month, all right? I'm not talking about your top JDT players here. I'm talking about your average run-of-the-mill players.
Got you.
So if you're talking about cutting your 5 grand a month pay, how much of that pay is actually going to help their clubs?
Mm.
In Malaysia, the situation is very, very different. Again, it's unprecedented times. Malacca United are cash strapped. A lot of clubs in Malaysia do not maximize their financial ability. They literally don't know how to. So, you know, they haven't got sponsors to keep paying them money. And a lot of them are, even if they're on 5-6K a month, are going to have to suffer pay cuts. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. It's common sense, I guess.
Mm.
But big sides like JDT, they've already announced, I think they were the first to announce pay cuts throughout their management, their players. Selangor announced recently that they have paid all the players.
Mm.
But like I said, it's the same. Common sense. If you don't think football will return until July, you've got 2 months there. You can't expect clubs to keep paying you full whack for 2 months. A compromise has to be struck.
Mm. Do you think the owners should be higher up on the footballing chain? For example, an M-League player hit back at FAM and the MFL officials telling them instead to lead by example and take pay cuts instead. Is this fair?
Yeah, you're referring to the recent article that there was a newspaper article on an unnamed player in inverted commas.
That's right.
Saying to the bigwigs at FAM, why don't you lead by example? You know, that is a fair point. Let's put it this way. FAM bigwigs, a lot of the officials at FAM make a damn sight more money than most, I would say, 60-70% of the footballers currently plying their trade playing football in Malaysia.
Mm.
So it would be very nice to see them lead by example. We allude very nicely to this. We also bring in the fact that, look, COVID-19 could spring into action. Bookies, that could be a problem. I urge you to search out Monday's chat I had with Steve Darby.
Mm.
That's on the BFM website. That we go into that in depth. That's very interesting.
Great stuff. All right, Ross Yusuf, host and pundit of BFM's football programs. Thank you so much for your time.
You're most welcome. Everyone stay safe, yeah?
And that brings us to the end of this week's program. Do remember that if you'd like to revisit the interviews, head over to our website www.bfm.my/barnone. Also, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at BFM Radio. And don't forget to download our BFM app via Google Play and the App Store. My name's Daryl Ong, and you have been tuning in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Join us again next week, right here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.